Blog Talk Radio.
PLM, baby.
Various rappers are so hilarious. We'll put the mic down, but you ain't qualified to carry this. Your tracks are garbage, your bars are miscellaneous. So throwing your joint at my car was spontaneous. Oh shit, I got you feeling nervous on purpose. I love bringing that shit right at you, door to door service. Instantaneous, you would still get your shit bust. Only spontaneous.
All aboard the Spontaneous Express. Nevertheless, always the more. From the pool table to the kitchen floor. Next stop, G5. Luda!
I'm
broken dreams. I'm tired of the public things. Tired of the baby mama. Tired of the ghetto drama. Tired of the back and forth. Tired of it and out the door.
She's hilarious, and she always made me laugh, always.
And she's easygoing. She's like, hey, I love nature. Hey, camping, why not?
Oh, my God! The tent is just coming in on me. The wind is so bad.
Much as I know Gabby and feel like I know Brian, you just never know when it comes to relationships.
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late, if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. Prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
My little girl met a new friend other day on the playground at school, between the tires and the swing. But she came home with tear-filled eyes, and she said to me, "Daddy, listen, well, I just brushed it off at first, 'cause I didn't know how much my little girl had been hurt, nor the things she had seen. I wasn't ready when I said, 'You can tell me.'" And she said, "Listen, lies to the classroom. Listen, lies every day at school. Listen, lies to the teachers as she tries to cover every bruise. My little girl laid her head down that night to go to sleep. As I stepped out the room, I heard her say a prayer so soft and sweet. God bless my mom and my dad and my new friend Alyssa. Oh, I know she needs you bad, because Alyssa lied to the classroom. Alyssa lied every day at school. Alyssa in my throat grew bigger with every question that she asked, until I felt the tears run down my face, and I told her that Alyssa wouldn't be at school today, 'cause she doesn't lie in the classroom. She doesn't lie anymore at school. Alyssa lies with Jesus, because there's nothing that anyone would do.
LM, baby.
And with another fantastic mix by DJ Waheed, we are up and running here as, and first of all, on this week of Thanksgiving, thank you so much for tuning in from coast to coast around the world, especially tonight. I think that you will be enlightened by what we will be discussing tonight. But hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to you. LeVar Evans with you as Spontaneous Radio Online proudly brings to you our TLM special roundtable discussion entitled Missing People, Domestic Violence, Drug Abuse, and COVID-19. Those things are still, even you would think in 2021, are prevalent and at the forefront. And I am so happy to be with you tonight. Our thoughts and prayers before we even go into the full feature of our evening and condolences to all of the victims from the Astroworld concert place there in Houston. 10
right.
people passed away from that event. Hundreds of people treated for injuries. Our thoughts and prayers are definitely with all of them. All of our family, almost all of our family, is here tonight. A big shout-out to our PLM family member, Miss Goldie. We are thinking of you. We cannot wait until you are back with us here discussing the topics of the day, but I just wanted to shout her out tonight, let her know that we are all thinking of her. And
yeah, here. Definitely.
Yes, I know with the permission of everybody, I know I could say that, and I know that everybody definitely backs that. But
yeah.
I'm not going to go too much and talk because we've got a lot to talk to you about. And, of course, as always, I am joined by my PLM brother, DJ FX. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm more than ecstatic because I definitely have to put this out there real quick. Definitely shout out to the DMV area. Man, they had an outstanding weekend. Everybody won. Got to say my Washington football team, the Wizards, as well as the Capitals, as well as the Washington Spirit, the professional women's soccer team. They won just yesterday,
yeah.
So I'm definitely ecstatic all this weekend. So I'm putting it out there. I don't care what you say. I'm putting it out there. But I will definitely make sure I extend a holla branch for who I'm about to introduce next, the Philadelphia Eagles, for they did win today. So I will definitely put that out there. So they got their win in NFL today. So definitely shout out to the Eagles. But as I've been mentioning to one of the greatest to be a fan of the Eagles, all of this is possible by our beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous, the female artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University. And she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in 2023, including a second book that will be released about her life with her manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. As you know, this show is being brought to you by Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. So I'm juiced. I'm juiced. I don't know about y'all, but I'm juiced.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get into this thing. But I will ask my PLM brother, Mr. LeVar, should I introduce the panel or will you? Do you want to?
I will let you do the introducing tonight because I there's a reason why I'm not going to probably talk as much, and I will say it in a little bit, but I'll let you introduce the panel.
Right.
Of course. You know how we do when it comes to our PLM family. You definitely got to hold each other, you know, especially when there's certain times where we need just a little bit of help. But like you said, he will definitely mention that a little bit later. However, I will go into our esteemed panel, so I will definitely do that. So first off, all the way from NYC, host of the hard-hitting show Ask Andre Dwayne, we have the one and only Andre Dwayne. Welcome, sir. All right. Next
hello,
up, hailing from St. Thomas. Yes, yes, yes. From St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. DJ of the Island Sounds, DJ Bliss. What's going on, bro? All right.
Pretty good,
next
pretty good.
From, sounds good, sounds good. And, of course, from the DMV, hailing again from the NY, the mix that you heard earlier today, DJ Waheed. What's happening, bro?
Yo, what's up? Hope everybody's doing all right out there.
All right, all right. And last but not least, right, host of PLM Philly Sound, the city, the original capital of the United States. A lot of people don't know this. The original capital of the United States before it got moved to D.C., a legend in the music industry, Mr. Albert Powell. How are you doing, sir?
Ryan, how about yourself? Everything's coming along.
Well, I can't complain. We are all here together under one roof, especially with our boss, beautiful boss, Miss Spontaneous. We are all raring to go to get into these topics, so let's do it because, just like my brother said, Mr. LeVar, we got a lot to talk about, so let's get into it.
Yes, indeed. And first topic tonight, of course, is one that I know is going to it's still going on, I think. When we have done the last few roundtable discussions, it has been the lead topic. And even now in late 2021, and that sounds weird even saying because this year has gone by so fast, COVID-19 still is taking over the headlines. I would have hoped by now that it would not, but here we are. It is a topic that is, of course, very near and dear to my heart. Which I will explain in a few moments. But there has, of course, still been a lot going on as far as COVID. Vaccine mandates in place in certain states, not in all states. Immunization controversies have arisen, especially in professional sports, and a lot of questions. But I guess my question to all of you as we reach this point of the year, especially for you, have your feelings changed in regards to where we are headed with COVID? Because I know when we've talked the last time, you know, a lot of us probably thought that this may be something that may go away or may still kind of be in it's funny when we like look back, if we listen to the past, we're like, oh, you know, it's hopefully going to go away if everybody does their part, but it's not happening. Do you think that this time next year we're still going to be talking about this and the manner in which it still is, and how has it been in your area? Spawn, I'll start with you first.
Well, actually, I just want to say, I know that was very hard for DJ FX to say the Eagle. All respect to him on that. And we didn't just win. We really won today. And you have to remember, Spawn is just not a fan. I was actually an Eagles cheerleader, an alternator, many years ago in the 80s, the late 80s. Okay. But getting back to COVID-19, as everyone knows, I know a lot of people, the majority, everyone in my family, my whole team here, everyone got vaccinated. And like I always said, for me, it's not a debate on politics, social media, anything to that degree. I did say to everyone, next year, I will go ahead and get the vaccination. I just feel that there's a lot of people out there who haven't gotten their vaccinations or have, per se, but they're still not doing what they're supposed to do. And I feel that's why we are where we are now. It's like we're not getting anywhere, realistically. You still have many people passing away from it. I have a second person I personally know that passed away recently. So it's dangerous, and I'm just not understanding the whole situation of people not caring about themselves or others that they love, who they might not be able to get it, or they get it, they fight it, but someone else around them can get it and might not fight the COVID. You just don't know who will win and who will not with this COVID. So I'm looking for a direction on hearing how they're actually creating possibly a cure for COVID. We haven't heard that language yet, lately, at all. And will that happen next year? Or it's going to be the same situation we're in right now? So it's just a question that I don't see where we're really getting all on the same direction of trying to get something right here when it comes to COVID.
I was going to say a quick follow-up question to you, Spahn. Do you think that we are going to have issues whether we come up with something more concrete or not? Because it seems, and this is a question for all of you, that a lot of people have now in their own way have made this more politicized.
Exactly.
It becomes a little bit more hard to, you know, get the general population to get on board because you have people who are to the far right who believe that the current things that are in place aren't going to help them and that there are other things that they've heard of that can. And then you have people to the left who feel that the people on the right aren't doing their fair share. And some people, quite honestly, now you're starting to hear dissent among those who have been vaccinated and quote unquote, not my quote, and excuse the intent behind it, but they're saying, hey, the hell with them. If they're not going to get it, let them pretty much, you know, whatever's going to happen to them is going to happen to them. I got my vaccination. Right. I'm rolling on and pretty much that's it. And it's now become down middle right or left idea on it. Do you think that we're going to still have issues with that?
I definitely, yes, for sure. We're already almost to a year as of next month, and it's back and forth, A and B, red and blue. And this virus doesn't care what's happening. It's just like, okay, well, you guys can go ahead and do what you need to do, but I'm still going to be here. So I just say until we realistically, everyone as a majority, get on the same path, we're just going to be just where we are now. We're seeing still the intensity of A and B. I don't see anything being solved on one side versus the other as far as more people getting on the other lane of it. I'm not going to put myself in danger and other people to say, oh, I haven't gotten vaccinated, so let me just go out here and merge with people. No, I've been away from lots of humans, as you guys know, since last year. So there's two situations I went to that I had to, and after that, I've been still doing the same thing. And even when I do get this vaccination, and the world will know, especially you guys, I'm still going to do the same thing that I'm doing now. I believe because for me, it's still an uncomfortable situation. It's something that I can't see. I'm going to always wear this mask until I hear a cure. Because you know what? We might can get another virus on top of the other two that we have. Because everyone forgot about the other virus that occurred, maybe 6 months ago. So I listen to the scientists, definitely. But it's just the point of everyone has to be on the same path for something to work. And I don't see that happening here in our country of the USA. I really don't.
Waheed, your thoughts about where we're at right now in regards to COVID?
Well, my concerns are pretty much what I said before. Yes, I did go ahead and get the jab, fully vaccinated. When it comes to the politics of the situation, you know, people who work for the federal government or even or contractors for the federal government, it's become a mandate. And one of the questions that, you know, FX and I talked with each other about a few weeks ago, that regarding this mandate, how will people feel as if the mandate is coming from this administration versus the last administration?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How will people actually feel about that? I'm just throwing the question out there in general. If negative 45 would have said, it is a mandate that you get this versus number 46 saying it is a mandate and you must get this or you lose your job. How will people take that? You know? So my concerns, you know, what hits home for me, my baby niece and my sister came down with COVID, and she got it from somebody from her school. And my concern is this. I understand that children miss being around their friends. 11 years old, you don't want to be 10 years old, 9 years old. What child would it be cooped up in the house? We were all those ages at one time in our lives. And,
right.
Yes, we weren't dealing with a global pandemic, but how would you feel being cooped up in the house away from your friends, you know, summer, fall, winter, spring, and then to do that again? So thank God that they recovered and they are able to do this. And it's the question I asked before. How are you going to let children out there who can barely protect themselves and think they're going to survive in a world where other people who are vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated? We don't know what people are doing at home or what they're not doing at home. We just don't know. So I'm still hopeful that they'll have this under control. However, when I look at other places around the world, the Philippines is an example. Yes, people are getting vaccinated, but they don't have as many cases as we do here in the U.S. People are, it's like they're in the process of going back to normal, but yet people look at them as a third world country. Economically, yes, but when they came to having enforcing the curfews, you caught without a mask, you're going to get your butt whipped. I mean,
right.
And when I turn on the news and my child has a right not to wear a mask in the classroom, look, when myself or effects from DJing these events, and, you know, we got some of these beautiful children out there, they don't know any better. They just know what the parents are saying based on the ignorance of it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, wear a mask. If you do get vaccinated and you're able to build up enough antibodies in your body, wear a mask. I still wear a mask when I go to the store. I still wear a mask, especially whether they have a sign or not, I'm putting one on just to be on the safe side. So those are my thoughts about it for right now. I'm hopeful, but damn it, the ignorance of what is going on out there, it's just slowing things down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Al, your
what's that?
I said your thoughts on where we're at with COVID right now?
Certainly. Man, it's pretty heavy for me. A year ago this week, a very dear friend of mine went into the hospital, November 11th. That was the last time he saw his family. His wife and his children hugged him and said goodbye. He was going to go in the hospital. And he went in, and he never came out. And so I'm coming up to a year anniversary, as it were, of a person passing away whose family I'm still in touch with. I call this family almost every other day just to check in because the wife is now working, and it's tough. And I bring all this up for one reason, is because I'm in exactly the same place again. A year later, today, I found out a friend of mine is in the hospital. A man, a father, and a husband. He's in the hospital with COVID. His wife just went to the hospital today and was inducted and brought into the hospital. And they have a son. How I feel is very shaky, to be honest with you. But on the other hand, I feel like, okay, this is a year later. Medicine has gotten very, like, everybody in the hospital is mandatorily vaccinated. People are going to get sicker or get somebody else sick because everybody in there is vaccinated. People that go in the hospital that are vaccinated have a much better chance of, you know, toughing it out, for lack of a better word. I don't know if that's the right word. But so here I am a year later, exactly the same conditions. but I guess they're more hopeful. I know somebody was in the hospital for 3 months, and they got out, and he's just much better. And in my case, I know a fair amount of musicians, and like almost every other sect out there, musicians are very opinionated, and they have different viewpoints across the board. I know many musicians got vaccinated very quickly, and I know a fair amount who did not. Their employers, if they're in wedding bands or if they're in any other kind of a social setting, which often bands are, they would be told by the promoter, by the club owner, or whatever, you have to be vaccinated, especially here in Philadelphia. You have to show proof. You can't get in. So a lot of people started losing work, and then they had to come to some huge decisions for themselves. Get vaccinated or possibly find another, like, another line of work. You know?
Employment.
Most of them are reluctantly, but nonetheless, getting vaccinated. I was against getting vaccinated, something I really was very internally struggling with. I chose to get vaccinated very early on, well, early for me, April of this year, just when it became available for my age bracket, for my health conditions and so forth. I did it with the thought of I could not live with myself had I gotten somebody sick. I currently take care of my 91-year-old mother, and it's difficult. But when I took a deep breath, I thought I'd rather, if the virus, which I just thought was, my reason for being against it was just that it was fast, that's all. That everything happened quickly. We got approved quickly. One of them was taken off the market. I was a little nervous about all that. But nonetheless, I did it when my turn came up. And like I didn't want to infect anybody else, God forbid, if I were a carrier. Like, I might not know it, and here I am hurting people. I'd much rather, for lack of a better word, hurt myself than hurt somebody else. So I chose to take the vaccination, and I did fine. I had no adverse done. And quite frankly, anybody my age, and it just turns out, so anybody my age would be have been vaccinated, go to school, and I had no say in any of that. And I did that. That's how I got to go to school. So anyhow, like I said, for me, it's a year later. I'm in the same exact position watching a family of three all be in the hospital with COVID, but I got to admit, I'm a little bit more hopeful than I've ever been that it could be a tough ride, but if the ride, you'll actually be able to get up and walk away.
All right. And Bliss, what about you?
For me, here in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm still walking around seeing people no mask on, people seeing the signs on like Walmart and little mom and pop stores saying that, you know, even though you're vaccinated, we still want you to wear a mask and things like that. And it's kind of like disturbing to me because Atlanta was one place that actually had a lot of cases with COVID. And right now there is still like, I guess they caught enough hotels that weren't making enough money since COVID came started hitting, and they actually have hotels here in Georgia that are quarantine areas for people that have. And it's like, you know, seeing 5, 6, 7, probably 10 hotels in one area, like right around, like encircling the airport. are just quarantine. And it's like to say that
I think we lost him there for a second. We'll get him back.
Well, Andre, I know is in the heart of where a lot of this was happening with New York and things that was going on there. Andre, what's been going on there in the last year?
Well, we have the vaccine mandate going on here, so you have to be like fully vaccinated to go to gyms, bars, restaurants, and things like that. As far as masks, People really don't wear masks out here. On the train, it's mandatory. You have to wear masks in government buildings, hospitals, and stuff like that. But everywhere else, people don't wear masks under the assumption that everybody's vaccinated. And, you know, in New York, you got to be – you can be up to five years old is the age for vaccines out here now. As far as, like, the COVID numbers, I haven't paid attention to the COVID numbers, but I actually looked them up today. And in the last week, it's been close to 1,300 hospitals, total of 1,300 infections, 24 hospitalizations, wow, and 6 deaths. But, like, the news is tied up with, like, Astro World and other stuff like that, so they don't really talk about, like, the hospitalizations and COVID and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, right, COVID disappeared here in New York, but it didn't.
Right.
Which is not good because it's still
right
there.
Right.
And,
yeah, my baby niece lives in New York.
Yeah, and everyone realistically have to realize the increase of COVID is occurring because of the holiday coming upon us next week. And John Hopkins data stated that to the United States. So New York State, you know, they're not wearing masks. There's a lot of people, as you know, out there who really didn't get their vaccination, and they're mingling with people who officially, you know, have gotten vaccinated. And I feel everybody should wear a mask either way, the situation is. And it is increasing.
Like
that's the thing.
Yeah. I feel like there are places as well, too. Like, some places enforce masks and stuff like that. But for the most part, like, I'm back to doing events and things like that. And we require vaccines, proof of vaccines, and you got to show ID. So,
right,
you know, unless people are masterminds and taking those vaccine passes and stuff like that, then for the most part, everybody's vaccinated that I'm around.
Wow. Well, the people got to remember, that's not the cure. They still got to wear that mask.
Totally.
Do you think, do everyone feel sometimes right now and state to state, like just how Andre mentioned, sometimes the data is not mentioned so much in that particular state, but it's still there strongly, but they just want everybody to be okay and not, you know, oh, my God, with COVID? And I feel that's a dangerous situation when the feed of it should always be out there daily, because this virus goes up and down and it hasn't gone anywhere. This is not a cure. They didn't say this is the cure.
Actually, to answer your question real quick, I know here in Chicago, because of the mask mandates, it is still mentioned on the news here. In regards to cases as well as deaths. Really quick, I know with your permission, the reason why I said this story means so much to me why I kind of think so much of this is about a little bit over a month ago. I, myself, because I always say, unless you have a face to this, sometimes you don't know, but I myself came up COVID positive, along with pneumonia. And all of the things that you go through with COVID, I went through. Luckily, I was vaccinated back around March, April, and my symptoms only lasted about 4 or 5 days max. And I tell people, and I know this is all opinion, and you, whether you're listening tonight and whether you are pro-vaccine or against vaccine, from a person who has gone through it, I can definitely tell you that if I did not have said vaccine, that I probably would not be here with you all tonight when I think about it. And just continue to do what you need to do, especially with what everybody's saying, is to wear the mask, because I wore my mask. I'm one of those people that wore my mask, and I was one of those people that washed my hands, and it still happened. So it can still happen some way or another, and we just hope that everyone does their part so that it does not get bad for those who still have yet to have gotten vaccinated or are trying to protect themselves or can easily get sick. But if you want a face to it, tonight you can. I can actually say that I am the face of that because I've been through that, and if it would take another half hour to tell you of the symptoms and what I went through, but it was something that I would not wish among anybody. But just be careful out there, folks.
And if you don't mind, LeVar, I'm the face of knowing that this was happening to him. And I didn't say that to anybody on the team, but when I spoke to him, it was very scary. Mm-hmm. It was very scary when I spoke to him. When I spoke to LeVar, it was very scary. And I was really concerned. It didn't sound like how he sound right now.
No.
And I didn't let anybody know. I checked on him constantly. You know, I just say text me because he sounded not like him whatsoever. It was extremely scary at that time when I spoke to him during that time. So, and like he said, he traveled, he went different places or whatever, and he did exactly what he's supposed to do. And he still got it. And it was scary when you spoke to the person. So, mask up.
Forgive me for any cost.
Because I'm just saying you can mask up and you can still get it. And how do I tell everyone, please don't travel. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling everybody to stay home, but don't go places too much, please. You know, because you can go to that city, you can fly on that particular plane. Each time you travel, that's a new travel. That's not the same travel from last time, even though it could be the same place you're going to. And you just don't see this virus. It could be somebody on a plane. It could be someone from the hotel. It could be somewhere in a store. It has no sign to say, hey, here I go. Move over because I got the COVID. It's in me now. I'm going over here now. You don't see it. It just comes into you. You know, it's immune system. And that's where it goes from one body to another.
And the weird thing is,
I'm just raising a glass in the air, toasting to you. Thank you for sharing your story. And I'm so glad you're feeling healthy and doing well. So you can't see it, but I'm raising a glass of Gatorade in the air.
Thank you.
Cups,
well, I have water.
Cups up.
Vitamin C liquid.
And beers.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather cups up than pouring one out. So yeah.
There you go.
And FX, I think you had a question too on the COVID situation.
We'll really just make a quick point because we were talking about those getting together for holidays and stuff like that, just to give you some quick numbers. So around this time last year, and I'm looking at November 25th of last year, the number of cases that I have seen or has been reported is around 180,590. All right, that was November 25th of last year. Now I'm currently looking at the trend, and we're currently trending upward. And this was reported yesterday, new cases at 119,043.
Mm.
So as we already know, these spikes that I'm seeing, you can definitely look this, because I'm actually getting this from New York Times, their numbers here. And the spikes are around the holidays. They are around the holidays. And meeting up with people, of course, we still want to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do, mask up and do the vaccinations. And you already made that that notion, Spahn, about how it is not a cure. And I've said this, you've heard me say it, you've said it, we've all said this many times. Everybody out there that's listening knows that this is not a cure. This is just to slow down the spread. That's all it's for. All right?
Exactly.
But I do want to turn it into this question because I've noticed that a lot of things have been taking place, and pretty sure that when going back to our sports events or sporting events, and I will say that here in D.C., the mask mandate, I believe, will be lifted tomorrow in arenas like Capital One Arena as well as FedEx Field. Okay.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, as we've already seen, when just like children, and I'm going to call it the way it is, just like children, as soon as we got free to do something, what do? We decided to act like idiots.
Take it off.
So, yep, we just go in, start throwing bottles at players and stuff like that, don't know what's happening. So I'm already thinking, how does COVID affect the brain? So, okay. So I'm going to give just a little piece of what's been going on, and I want to ask this question to all of you and get your thoughts and takes on this. So here's what's been happening, all right? So now this is a report that came out this past June, all right? And they've been saying that more proof of COVID severely affects the brain, all right? Mm. Proof is, and I got a little bit of proof, one of my cousins, he got COVID, and since recovering from it, he has been suffering from brain fog. So it's like they're kind of equating it to Alzheimer's. So
this
is what's going on. Yeah. So it's starting to get to that a little bit. So they're saying here, and this is what just a few symptoms they've actually mentioned. So they're saying cases around the world show the patients with COVID-19 can have a variety of conditions related to the brain, including confusion, loss of consciousness, seizures, stroke, loss of smell and taste, DJ Jazzy Jeff has attested to that, headaches, trouble focusing, and changes in behavior. So I will start with you, Spawn, on this question. How do you feel that COVID has truly affected us and our behaviors and emotions and, well, our brain activity? How do you feel about that? Because those have been mentioned as some symptoms there. What do you think?
Well, I definitely we see strange things happening more each month. That's really questionable. Like, wow, like something just happened today where a parade for a Thanksgiving holiday was going on and a person just drove into the people. That happened earlier today. So, so really strange things. And I will just say, you know, I understand, and LaVarg maybe can speak on that much more, but I understand when a person has COVID or had COVID and, you know, they came through okay, is there certain things that you seem that's not the same before you got COVID? Like maybe, ooh, I get colder chills, or, well, you know, I'm having this headache a little bit more than I ever had before for no reason. Because I know when the immune system is attacked, your immune system will never be 1,000% the way it was before it was attacked with something. And I can speak on pneumonia with that part. But I just know there's a lot of bad people out there that's just doing things just because as well. So I won't sit and say, you know, who, but there are some that have problems that's going on maybe because of, you know, they had COVID and there's challenges that's going on with them mentally. And it could be an emotional situation because we never been through this ball game before. We never, ever.
This is definitely new territory, maybe, right?
Exactly. So mentally, it's a challenge for many people. I just try to keep a smile on my face because, you know, two people died from COVID that was close to me, one recently and my stepbrother. And it's a different ballgame because usually, as we know, when we love someone who's in the hospital, we can go see them in the hospital room. You can't do that. And you see them on a device of technology, and this is the way it is. It's a scar that just won't heal, definitely, but it's just a point of emotionally it does trigger off, you know. But myself, I stay strong with different formats of my life, you know. So, but lots of people have challenges because they had it maybe, and they're just like, oh, my God, what I went through is a trauma mentally, and that could be a situation that challenges in their life that's going on today. But there are some bad people who are just instigating things intertwined with what's going on with people who might have had COVID at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So I'll go with Al on this one. So, Al, what are your thoughts? Like, how do you feel COVID has affected us? Because I know, just like you mentioned, Spawn, about the stress and, you know, being an emotional type of deal. So what would be your take on this, Al?
I'm speechless. From the standpoint of, like, it just doesn't stop. If you're fortunate enough not to be physically affected, then, okay, that's good. So you're walking around as a physically unaffected person. You're going about your business. And then you hear a friend, like LeVar, you hear he's sick, and now you're involved. You're like, man, you got your fingers crossed. You're bumping into trees because you're just thinking about your friend or friends and family. Now you're concerned. So it's like, you know, for easily the past year and a half, I don't think any one of us, with all due respect to everybody, whatever nationality or whatever portion of humanness you are, for the past year and a half, I don't think any one of us has had 2 days that are stress-free. I just don't. I think in some way, shape, or form, you're either worried about your own health, you're worried about other people's health, and then you start to see random acts of violence and so forth and so on, and it wears on you. I mean, for me personally, I'm just, like, pretty much in a state of, like, almost like they're recovering from a crisis or a trauma. I just feel like I need a deep breath. I got to, you know, navigate. And there is no time to navigate. You're in a car. You're this. You're that. Like I said, a year ago this week, a friend of mine passed away. And here it is a year later, and there's the aftermath of that family of three. And he was the breadwinner. And then within minutes, I'm involved in the same thing again with a different family. LeVar's living proof that, like, okay, you go in, you do it as best as you can, what you're able to do, and he came out and he's fine. Like, that's very hopeful for me. So, you know, I use every morsel of that, you know, to celebrate life and try to be as hopeful and positive as I can be. But, man, it wears me, you know, just, I guess, is a in a nutshell response. I'm weary. I am very weary. And I just, you know, I love my friends. When I get a chance to hug them, I really hug them, you know, like when I'm allowed to. but,
you know, all right.
You know,
okay.
I've seen everybody else. Eyes, they're in the same situation. So,
right.
That's me.
Okay. All right. All right, Brother Waheed, it's on you. How do you feel?
Well, first of all, I feel fine. Physically, mentally, emotionally. One of the things I noticed here, especially working in corporate America as well, especially from last year, even to this present now, I sense a lot of fear because of the uncertainty. And one of the things I told my colleagues is that one of the blessings about this, I'm not taking it lightly for those who have suffered a loss. So let's just make sure I'm clear about that. So I say the plus side of it, despite all the drama that happens at the workplace, I get a chance to talk to people and have the conversation that we could never have in the office, face-to-face.
Right.
I say this because and I said this last year too, it brought out a lot of people's true colors. Even with the murder of George Floyd, it brought out a lot of true colors with a lot of individuals in terms of what they think, how they feel, what their attitudes are towards it. And, yes, I know at times I can be labeled a troublemaker, and I wear that as a badge of honor when I bring the truth out to other people. I have no issues with that whatsoever. I say this because when you are speaking truth to power, you know, it forces people to change. It forces people to look at themselves, whether they want to or not. So one of the things I tell people when I DJ every single event is to make great memories on purpose. I say this unapologetically because last year, I don't care who you are or where you are, everyone has been through some sort of hell, straight up, mentally, emotionally. Yeah. I mean, everybody's been through some sort of hell and has to find a way to resolve it. And as I mentioned earlier regarding this mandate, it's really bad because I feel that it affects people's rights in terms of how they want to treat themselves medically. I'm not saying we all got to agree with it, but it's one of those things where you're thinking to myself, okay, so I got to find a new job if I don't take the jab. I mean, what the hell? And it gets to a point where
people
are thinking, man, damn, I'm forced to take this. I have relatives who didn't want to take it. I don't know what's in it. I don't want to do it. But, you know, when one of my relatives have a mortgage to pay and a child to take care of, what are you going to do? So how I feel about this in terms of, I mean, me personally, I'm doing the best I can to get through it on a day-to-day basis. Because at times I'm isolated. At times I'm isolated from people. I don't see a lot of people. So when I get a chance to do an event, I'm isolated for 6-7 days away from people. Mm-hmm. Only time I'm out is when I go to the market. I mean, I went down to Oxford Hill just to pick up a sweet potato pie from Henry Tofu Cafe, and they require you to wear a mask.
You drive up there, you look at the window,
and you see a line full of people, you know, getting the stuff
for Thanksgiving
holiday. It does give me some type of hope.
Because we
got to make great memories on purpose. Thank you.
There you go. All right. Well, blessings on you, bro.
Oh, that one. Yeah. You just said spontaneous one by FedEx.
Yeah.
I thought you loved me, Waheed.
sitting in my freezer right now.
Stop it.
There you go.
My DJ don't love me.
Of course I do.
Because I knew when he went to that Henry Soul Food Cafe, he was thinking about Spawn. I knew he was. He was like, I ain't going to tell him, but you'll hear about it on the show.
I gotta let the family try first because they have you can order stuff online, but the communication is horrible. So you got to go there in person to order it and then schedule a date to pick it up.
And you know that's only in the DMV. You know they're not seeing it at the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Because
I'll be ordering every week. I'm like, let me have 4 this week. Sorry, Spot.
Yeah, one person ordered 3 pie kits and they ran out. I'm sorry, I don't need to take up more time. You next, Bliss.
Come back to follow, Bliss.
It's
on you.
Sweet potato pie makes you lose focus.
It does. It does. But it's a good one, though. It's a good one. We'll take that.
Yes.
Sorry to my
listeners here. Sorry, I guess you said, well, what is it about the sweet potato pie? What is going on here?
We should have a show just about that. Trust me, they don't know the story. We'll let them know.
I'll wait until I get over there to the DMV, and we'll do a live Instagram video, and then they'll understand what I mean.
There we go. Yeah, we're going to do that. Stamp it. We're going to do it. But all right, Bliss, it's on you now, bro. It's on you. So how do you feel that COVID has affected people maybe mentally, emotionally? Like, what was your take on it? Or maybe a personal experience, like how COVID may have affected, you know, anybody, maybe, you know, anyone. So how do you feel?
Me, looking at this whole COVID-19 pandemic, to hear that it's actually affecting people mentally, that's, to me, that's real serious problem. They need to get a cure for this thing, because if it's going to be affecting people neurologically in their brain and have them change, you know, give them basic mood swings and change their whole attitude towards everything around them, that's bad. Because if you think about it, look at the majority of these. This is just, you know, to lighten up the subject, but look at the majority of these zombie movies. The disease that actually in these movies are messing with the neurology first before they actually, you know, kill off and, you know, make change them to the point of people not knowing who they are. Mm-hmm. So if COVID-19 is actually doing this to these people, to whoever had it, it's basically to the point of where they need to find a cure to get it done to where you don't have young people that's, you know, 18, 19, 20, acting like, you know, they're older people with Alzheimer's. Yeah. Because then, you know, now if they're sitting down there in class and they had COVID and, you know, they literally forget everything that they were taught within that week. Mm-hmm. That's not good. Because now look at the kids that's in college, to the point where they're trying to get, you know, their doctorates and, you know, their BSs and stuff like that. It's basically to the point of if you have this disease, everything mm-hmm. that you were taught in the beginning of those semesters could go right directly out, and you won't pass, and you will be shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So they need to come up with a better plan on dealing with this COVID-19 pandemic. Because if I'm driving trucks now, and if I'm out there and, you know, I just happen to see somebody literally at a store or one of the warehouses that I'm delivering to, and they happen to just get brain fog and they're driving a truck, they hit another truck, that's putting me in danger.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you know, it's really, really bad to that point, people having it not just virally, you know, in their lungs and, you know, building up in their lungs, and it's actually hitting them neurologically, that is bad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I agree. And to go back to your point about the zombies, I am a lover of The Walking Dead. I will say that I'm a huge fan of that show. And even though I'm sorry for everybody that like Game of Thrones, but I'm sorry, Walking Dead will kill that show, because The Walking Dead could actually happen. You're seeing it. The Game of Thrones is pure fantasy. So that's just me. I'm getting off my high horse. But anyway, I'm going to keep the conversation going. So I will definitely bring in our brethren, Mr. Andre Dwayne. We want to know, what is your take on COVID as far as affecting people emotionally and mentally, that kind of thing? Like, what is your take on
that? I will say emotionally it has affected me, I guess, with the lockdown and everything, being isolated. It, you know, had me deal with issues that I had piling up and stuff like that. So it probably affected other people in the same way. It's hard to gauge with the people in New York City. I mean, they were batshit crazy before COVID. So I don't know if COVID's really doing something to them.
I would have to agree,
like,
but okay.
A lot more, I would see a lot more aggression with, like, the homeless population in New York City. Like, there's been a lot more attacks on the subway and stuff like that with the homeless. So, I mean, you know, that they were out there, so they weren't protected with COVID like we were. They were in quarantine. They were riding trains and stuff while we were locked down. So it's pretty likely that they had COVID, and maybe that's one of the things that's affecting them. It's been crazy. It's been a lot going on. Like, I had to go to an event the other day. It normally takes me 20 minutes to get there, and it took me an hour and change to get there because they had to reroute trains because somebody did something on the train. So,
wow.
What? Yeah, and our violence is up again. But, you know, I don't know. I just feel like New York is back to it was pre-COVID. Like, I just feel like it's over here in a sense, because that's how everybody's treating it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to tie up before we go into our next topic tonight. I know one of the things that we also said we were going to discuss was drug abuse. Really quickly, though, with COVID-19 and substance abuse, there is a correlation. And researchers have observed increases in substance abuse and drug overdoses in the U.S. since COVID was declared a national emergency in March of 2020. And as a public citizen, I'm sure, as we always do, there is help. Of course, there is the Treatment Referral Routing Service, or the National Helpline, at 1-800-662-HELP or 1-800-662-4357. And also, mixed in with that, and especially with the holidays and with substance abuse, also is the danger of suicide this time of year. And, of course, as always, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available at 1-800-273-8255. So if you do need help with either substance abuse or with thoughts of suicide, those things are available to you, and please get that help.
Yeah, definitely. So just want to make sure
to tie that in before we left that topic for tonight. Going into the next topic, and one of the couple of things that we were going to talk about was missing people in domestic violence. And one of the big cases this year, which will probably be one of the stories this year that everyone was watching, not just because of what happened, but because of how things were handled, was the case of 22-year-old Gabby Petito. And, of course, we all remember the story where Gabby was found, and then a few weeks later, her boyfriend or fiancé, Brian Laundry, was found. And there was just so much that kind of happened within this story. So many things. I mean, the timeline itself, if you're familiar with the story, of where he returned to his home in early September without her and did not talk to authorities. And he left his home roughly 2 weeks later and disappeared, sparking a weeks-long search for him until he was found. There's still questions, even as of tonight, of what was found near his body. Why didn't police take him into custody? And what exactly happened? Because we all know the other stories that led up to that. But I guess I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this story, because the first thing that I know that Twitter and everyone else has said out there was that he was – that the police dropped the ball on this whole investigation, and that – and I don't want to play, and I'm going to be careful with how I tiptoe into this, is that if he were any different, that things would have maybe wound up a little bit differently with eight going into, but you can't help but think it. But I wanted to get you guys' opinion tonight on this case and what happened and what can we learn from this going forward so that we don't have any more stories like this. And Spy, I guess I'll start with you first.
Sure. Of course, FX definitely know from the beginning of Gabby missing, from that part, even when they were arrested or were about to get arrested and the police stopped them, you know, I was into that. I was into this so strongly because there was a lot of situations there where I even went back to her social page. I said, let me really dig in. And why I dig in so much, because these are young people. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I lived life, and I can see her spirit where she was just, I just want to enjoy life. I want to just travel the world, and let's create a blog, you know, free spirit, just like a bird flying in the air. That's what life should be about. But it was just like, okay, when they got stopped by the police, I was saying to myself, okay, look at his character, look at her, you know, anxiety, different things. I said, this is not their first situation. That's what I said to myself. They went through a domestic together prior before. Maybe it might have been a little lighter because she was living with him at their at his parents' home. So as I hear she's missing, I'm all into it, you know, putting up, doing different things, praying for the family, hoping they will find their child. And then we hear what happened. And see, when this dude came back without her, I knew right there something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You guys went on a road trip together and you don't come home without her, something happened. Something happened. Now he's going to go and tell his parents he's going to go near a swamp and go hiking. Yeah, he's not coming back. That's what I said to myself. Not because of the swamp. It was because he knew the police was going to be asking him questions, and eventually, guess what? He can't have his lawyer in the front line anymore. They are going to actually say, we're going to have to question you because some strange things are happening as it went along. And then here we go. So I think someone has stated to me, do you really think he's dead? Yeah, because you know Gabby's parents definitely making sure that that was his DNA. So it's still an open investigation, I guess, but we already know he did it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you're on a road trip, you guys are doing this blog together. Every place you go is together, together, together. And all of a sudden, this one
right.
person comes back with the van or the truck that y'all built together here. Something happened. Now, of course, parents protect their child, good or bad, in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Some cases now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all parents are, they're going to be like, where is Gabby? You understand?
Never.
But his parents happen to be protecting their son. Now, I say to myself, maybe the parents' character was like that because they knew Gabby and their son probably had some domestic situations that happened prior before they went on a trip. Because remember, Gabby was living there with him and his parents. She wasn't
right.
living with her, you see? So I think that's mm-hmm. why the parents just kept quiet so much in so many cases. But Gabby's family still, you know, I was hoping that he wouldn't commit suicide. I was hoping the police wouldn't get him because that's she was strangled and then was
yeah.
there for some days and days and days. So you got crows, you got different things eating your skin and your, like, come on, what kind of argument? But it intensifies. And that's
yeah.
why I always believe I cannot sit here and tell a man or woman when they should leave a domestic relationship. But I always say if it's one time, you leave at that time. Don't stay,
mm-hmm.
no, well, he's going to change, she's going to change. No,
mm-hmm.
a relationship is
mm-hmm.
not built on hurting each other in the first place. First time, it's time to go, right then and there. First time. Even if it's a mental abuse. Mental abuse is just as bad as physical abuse, either way
mm-hmm.
you look at
yeah.
it. But it's just heartbreaking because she was just so young and she just seemed like just a free spirit young lady who just wanted to create a wonderful blog and show the world the beauty and on the planet of the USA.
I'm going to go around the panel here. We'll actually start with Andre. But in regards to the case, do you feel that the authorities missed out on an opportunity to maybe get more answers by really kind of just being okay with because I believe at that time when they did go to the house, they just got a statement from the attorney, really did not get a chance to talk with him. And I don't
right.
know in any case in which they would not have a chance to at least get something to talk to the person who they're looking to talk to. But and
right.
I don't know what stopped it. We'll find out more as the months go on. But do you think
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, and I'm pretty sure by that point what was done was already done, but we could have at least gotten some answers. But do you feel that things maybe or that they should have worked a little bit harder in terms of trying to get a hold of him before left home for that final time? You know, I guess I'll start with Andre first in regards to his thoughts on the case.
I definitely think they could have done more. I mean, that would have raised my suspicions right there. Like, you come back without Gabby and your attorney is speaking for you. Like, it's
something isn't right. So mm-hmm. I feel like they dropped the ball there. They should have did a lot more.
Exactly.
And
I mean,
what's your
he
thought?
Shouldn't have had a chance to you know, to leave again. Like I would have needed a statement from him, found something to arrest him on, to hold him until something was spoken, because it just didn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, it definitely didn't. As I say, Bliss, your thoughts?
With this case here, I mean, police could have done better to me because, you know, it also had a situation with a girl from that I know from back home that got that it was missing and they found her down her foot. But, you know, it's to me, it's stuff that, you know, police can do. I know for a fact that it's more, if they do more investigation on certain people that, you know, that's around these some of these females, especially if they know for a fact that this person has, you know, anger problems, the family mm-hmm. should also know that this was something that they would try to tell, you know, Gabby, leave this guy alone. We're not sure, right. you know, if he's good for you, you know, and at least, you know, try and stay away from him. We have a bad feeling about him. So if the family had, you know, called the police and the police knew about the guy, they could have done a lot more investigation into him, probably found her alive, you know, right. or even quicker than how they, you know, they found her.
Mm-hmm. Al, your thoughts?
My thoughts are what little I feel like I know about anything as far as, you know, like true facts. And so I just felt like the authorities could have acted quicker, or I just felt like there was a lot of holes, and that bothered me. Mm-hmm. You know, my first instincts were, you know, I guess along the way, like, you get it, okay, and then follow up with it, you know, tell them that. And I just felt like some of those things had a lot of holes in it. And then after a while, I couldn't keep up. I felt like I lacked any kind of good information or decisions with. I mean, it's sad, really sad.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to Waheed, and then we'll go to FX after Waheed. Waheed?
Yeah, I can definitely say they did drop the ball, because he was the last person that was with her. And the thing that is disturbing on so many other levels is the mental health of these two. Some people say that, oh, she was getting on his nerves. My thing is, this young lady suffers from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And she even admitted that at times she is suffering from that. My concern right. is, if you really care about somebody, you either learn more about this to work through it with her or leave the relationship. And the sad reality is, not only we lost one person, but we lost two people. And because we lost two people, and because he committed suicide, no one gets to know what mental state that he was in. Other than Gabby's OCD, we don't know what led up to that point in her life. We don't have enough information to know how did she get from being first diagnosed, I'm assuming when she was much younger, to present day till she was murdered. And then you got this other gentleman, Ryan Laundry, who was probably dealing with some mental abuse issues of his own. I don't get the impression or the vibe that his parents are supportive or were supportive of him at a certain point in his life, supportive enough to say, or at least to work with the two of them. Because, as Fran mentioned, they were young. They were young. They wanted to, at least from Gabby's perspective, explore the U.S. and show the beauty through the vlog, despite everything that is happening here. So I'll reiterate this again to the question. Yes, the police dropped the ball. The moment you are suspect number one, you should be kept an eye on. No one, we even no one should, that person, he should not have been able to leave again.
Exactly.
But knowing, but since he ran,
yeah.
we, yeah, but yeah. since he ran, we knew he was guilty. I'll say it again. If you haven't, and if anybody out there, if you having problems with your relationship, male or female, take some time to just leave. Mental health therapy, there's nothing to be ashamed about it. Nothing.
Exactly.
We all go. We mm-hmm. all went through some type of trauma or abuse or seen loved ones deal with it. It affects us on a subliminal level, on a spiritual level, than we ever realize.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
FX?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the current timeline of events, and I want to point to August 12th, and this is where I think this is the moment where they probably should have dug in more. So August 12th was at Moab. Utah police have an encounter with the couple on August 12th, where officers described them as having engaged in some sort of altercation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let me move down. After evaluating the totality of the circumstances, I do not believe the situation escalated to the level of a domestic assault as much as that of mental health crisis. Officer Daniel Robbins writes in the report, no charges are filed. So I'm thinking at that point, if you see that something is truly going on, maybe this is something where it's like, okay, maybe we should dig in a little deeper. So I will have to agree with everyone that says that the police dropped the ball on this, especially if you're dealing with those with possible mental health issues or behavior issues where, again, we're talking about a young couple, okay? We're talking about a young couple where we have a 22-year-old, and I kind of forgot the age of Landry.
Two years older.
Yeah, I think he was like 24.
They were all young.
Yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're very young, very young. And usually when you see those that are young, and, you know, Waheed and I have done weddings where we see young couples, and usually when it comes into the vetting process of trying to figure out how the wedding should go, receptions is always, well, how have other couples have done it? How, you know, we're new to this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We get that. Now, an engaged couple, as young as they are, and as being as in love as they are, of course, when it comes to certain fights, and I've often seen where they're like, oh, I love them. You know, we just had a little scuffle. So with their naivety, they're thinking they can love each other through it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they go off and do whatever. Sometimes it works. But majority of the time, it doesn't. So
exactly.
It was almost as if there was like saying, like, okay, because they probably have seen these things in each other. They probably have. They figured, oh, we get married, everything will be fine, right? Fast forward, you see what happened where, and Brother Waheed has mentioned it, not only did we lose one, we lost two. And this is where we really have to be real in what we see in our children. I know, and you said it, Spawn, that a lot of times, you know, not my baby. That's not my baby. Now, they could see their son or daughter been murdered a whole group of people. Because right there on the video screen, yep, and they see the face and everything and see the shirt that they gave them for Christmas. But that's not my baby. That's not my baby. No,
yeah.
It could be your baby. And I'm going to give further proof, and I'm going back to the COVID. Because, again, you know, especially when it comes to our kids, right, in schools, and we've seen parents actually talk to other teachers and say, you know what, I'm sorry, you were right, they are badasses. I didn't want to believe it at the time, but I see it now. So coming back to this, we have to be real about our children. We have to be real about our children. So if you see, because I go back to the whole thing about back to 9/11, when they're like, if you see something, say something. It's like, talk to them, have that talk with them, and say, hey, we understand there's some situations that just ain't quite normal. Let's talk about it. And sometimes this could be a cry for help. This could be a cry for help, because all we know, maybe Gabby saw something and maybe tried to escape, and maybe that's why she's not here with us now, because maybe he saw that.
and maybe got to a point where it was like, oh, you know, maybe he went to a deep depression, and for all we know, he probably killed himself. For all we know, we may not know anything because the parents may hold the key to that, his parents.
Exactly.
So we don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, mm-hmm. but I'll just go back to my point, and I'll end with this, is if your child is dealing with certain issues, and I know, and I know as parents, you just don't want to see something wrong. We got to be real because you don't want to be that parent. Well, you have that child go out, and I know with Laundrie's parents, they're thinking like, where did we go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question you do not want to answer. That's not the question you want to answer. So that's my point right there.
Yeah. Well, I know it's going to be a little bit hard, but there is one more story that I kind of wanted to get the panel's opinion on this week with something that kind of broke on Friday, and that is, of course, with Kyle Rittenhouse, who was accused of shooting three people, two failed. He was acquitted on all charges on Friday by a jury in Kenosha. The 12 jurors found him not guilty for the deaths of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and won't engage cross proofs.
I'm already shaking my head.
So I know this is going to be a little bit hard. 2 minutes or less, because the old clock on the wall is starting to say, hey, it's just about time
TikTok.
To go. But I want to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I know
right.
this would probably take about an hour and a half. But I wanted to kind of roll around. Spahn, I will start with you on your opinions on what occurred on Friday.
Yeah. Well, once again, as I know about this one, because I was watching that trial, the judge was very disturbing. I never seen that in court ever in my life with any judge. And I stated that young man is either going to the trial is going to be a mistrial, or he's going to be found not guilty.
Right.
Only because of the judge. The judge's character was very unique, and I believe he was confusing the jurors as well, because all this breakdown he was talking about, I never seen in any court at all, any trial, ever in my life. So, but from what this person did, excuse me, carrying a who? And what? So, of course, everyone knows my opinion. They know that justice was not served on Friday, and I have it on my social media. No matter what those individuals did in their past or 5 years ago, that had nothing to do with what happened that night. That night. No matter if he went to the jail or the court, or wherever he went and said, oh, I just shot somebody. Doesn't matter. Do you understand
right.
what kind of gun you had? They didn't have guns. The kid had a skateboard, the other one. And what do you do when you see somebody with a gun? You trying to like, oh, wait a minute, hold up here. You know, like, whoa, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't know how this is going to go as months, years go on with him, because I believe in karma, and that's all I can say on that one. You just don't know, because I don't care if he was a Boy Scout. That had nothing to do with what happened on that particular night. And why was he really there? Because, first of all, he didn't live in that area. During the trial, they informed that he didn't even live there in that area.
Nope, not at all.
So you're not the police. You're not. You don't have no certificate, no nothing to say, you know, you want to be, and you're only 17 years old in the United States. So that means all 17-year-olds is going to carry the same type of gun, and it's going to be all right.
The judge might have sent that message. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe the judge has to retire. It's time for him to retire. You guys can maybe look back and see some things that was just not normal for a particular judge to even do. Was he taking selfies
right.
or something in court a little later after that or something on the phone?
Yeah.
Or
he was reading a magazine while it was going on. They show photos of that. He was reading a magazine.
Yeah.
That lets
strange.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Waheed, 2 minutes. Your thoughts.
All right, yeah, 2 minutes. Okay. Well, we all know this judge has a history of botching cases. I mean, y'all remember that case back in 2008 when Mark Jensen was found guilty of murdering his wife by poisoning her with antifreeze. Judge Schroeder sentenced him to life in prison, but the conviction was overturned because of the evidentiary ruling. Basically, you know, he botched that case up. And Crown Rittenhouse, what parent will allow the underage minor to travel across state lines with an AR-15 weapon? Had that dude looked like me, you know, in my early 50s, if I would have done that, my black ass would be under the jail. Let's just keep it a buck. I would be under the jail. Ain't nobody going to be bailing me out. Judge Schroeder, 75 years old, he should have retired, in my professional opinion, back in like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, he should have retired. I don't care how you look at it. You can't spin it any other way. Antonio Brown fired a shot and killed a man who was sex trafficking her. Yes, she spent time in jail. This dude gets off by killing two people and claiming self-defense? What the hell is this? But you know what? At the same time, I am not surprised. And it's like, you know, when SNL did a sketch over the weekend, this past Saturday, you know, they did a sketch of Judge Schroeder and saying, hey, you know, that's not a good way to talk to my client. Because that's how he treated him, like a client, or like his grandson. I mean, and I got to bring this point out. There's video out there where Kyle Rittenhouse was going to a lot of black people in the Black Lives Matter protest, talking about, do you need any aid? Do you need any aid? And they're like, nah, we saw you in your car with your friends talking about, I wish I had my gun to shoot y'all. So excuse my French when I say this about Clown Rittenhouse. I hope somebody appeals and get this son of a bitch in jail. Ain't no, how a parent going to allow their minor child to go out across state lines in the middle of the night? A minor. He's a minor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just remember, it seemed like he's the type of kid that would tell his mom, I'm going to hang out with some friends, and he goes to another state.
He did. Yeah.
And that's what happened. It seemed like his mother really don't know a lot of things that he do when he walk out that house, really.
No, she
and
didn't.
It seemed like I don't hear the daddy around, so it seemed like she has three kids and the father's not around, and he's just a son that just has some issues here that's just crazy.
She has some issues too, because there was video of her laughing about it until the camera's focused on her. So she's just as guilty for raising this lunatic.
Yeah. And it was three victims. Actually, two died and one is still alive.
Two died. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Waheed, if you were locked up, we try to get you some sweet potato pie.
With
a knife in it, sure. Or be like Indian brain and just, you know, cash my way out through the wall with a stone cutter. Yeah, okay. Let me know when that happens.
Who the judge is.
Right.
And I'll have to talk to the judge to see who the judge is, because as long as you don't have the judge that these folks had, you know, because he didn't.
Yes, Brian. If you can convince the judge for me, I'll be forever in your debt.
No problem. As long as I get a speak aside each month.
Wow. Definitely.
Wow. Now that's a payment boy.
Oh, your thoughts.
I just can't believe that he got off. I don't, you know, if you just look at it, I mean, just I was spellbound. And, you know, it's just a holy mackerel. I do believe it's worth watching from now on, like how he conducts his life and all the different people, the jurors. All I would love to see from this point forward what happened. It's just staggering to me. I don't think people should have guns like that, but, you know, that's just me.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
We'll go to Andre and then to Bliss.
I'm still stuck on the whole self-defense thing, because I'm confused at how self-defense, usually when you kill somebody in self-defense, is because you're in fear of your life. So you went home and left the situation to get your gun and came back. So I don't understand. When were you in fear of your life if you were able to go home? Why not go home and stay there? I can understand if he killed these people because they showed up at his house. Now, that's more like a self-defense case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This sounds like intentional murder. Like, you know, this was intended.
Yeah,
you
and he went in their territory. He went into their territory.
Yep.
And it didn't help that he had Judge Doom. I mean, you know who Judge Doom is, the weird judge from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because that's who that judge reminds me of.
Right.
<She's like him>. it was a shit show.
Man.
Like, I already knew, like, what was going to happen when the whole case played out. Like, it shouldn't have been a trial. Look at what happened to Tamir Rice. The 12-year-old boy that was playing with a toy gun and was shot down by the police.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Philando Castile.
Yep.
Like it just doesn't make sense to me. It's a circus.
Yeah, it is. And the world is watching America. That's what I say. The world is watching
was
turned America.
So because it was Black Lives Matter protesters that he killed. So they didn't really care.
And the Ahmaud Arbery's trial still is in the balance. So, of course, we will be talking about that definitely.
Oh,
sure.
Man. That's a whole
show.
Yes. But with the permission of our esteemed panel and my fellow family members, I know for the sake of tonight and making sure that we get to our special ending for you, I just want to say from myself, I know Thanksgiving's coming up later this week. I'm thankful for all of you and definitely thankful to be here with you. And, of course, we're always thankful for everybody that's listening in. And I will let Spawn have the final say here, and then FX will take us out. But thank you for allowing me to be here with you once again. Like I said, I always tell people, good to be seen and heard than to not be seen and heard at all. But thank you so much. And good night to all of you. And Spawn, thank you so much once again. And I will you.
I love you.
Talk
thank
to
you.
Audience. Love you too. Thank you. But I'll let you have the final word here, Spawn, because I know that you wanted to talk to our listeners out there tonight.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking I'm having everybody else talk. Well, definitely.
No.
First of all.
But the old clock on the wall is telling us we're running out of time.
Right.
But definitely, I just want to say I want to thank all our listeners globally. Definitely, the emails are always on fire every time we have a show. I just want to say definitely prayers to every person out there who hearts that are broken, who loved ones who have passed away in all different situations. Please, you know, just stay strong. And I want to say to my PLM family, love you. You are a blessing to me. This vision that we always have, we bring light and smiles to people globally. You guys don't understand the emails I get about all the topics that we've been talking about. So definitely I just want to say, too, don't forget December 12th, PLM debut Reggae, DJ Bliss. This is going to be the debut of our reggae genre of PLM. And also February 2022 will be the spontaneous annual celebrity bash, and we have some oh, my God, it's going to be crazy. That's all I can say. It's going to be like being in a candy store with all the types of candy, and you're like, which one should I get? So on that note, we're going to definitely want everybody to stay on, listen still, because we actually have a special dedication to an amazing man who passed away recently. And why we chose the song by Queen, what is it again? Dancing Queen.
Queen.
That was
Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Yes. Yes. And that was one of his favorite songs that he actually danced to during the Broadway play of Mamma Mia. So that's why we chose that song. So FX, you can give that insight a little bit, and then we'll take the show on and out for our last PLM roundtable discussion for 2021. And we have a lot of things that's going to be happening in 2022. I love everybody. Please stay safe during the holiday. And if you need to travel, mask up. Look like an astronaut if you need to, because it is out there with this COVID and it's very real. And LeVar, I'm so happy to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm like Mama. I'm going to be checking up on you. How you doing? You okay? I'll always know. I'm always doing that. You're okay? You're okay? No matter if you say you're okay, I'm still going to check up on you.
Yep,
but all right.
Thank
love you.
So
spontaneous love you. And all my professors who are listening as well, they listen in tonight as well, and all the celebrities who actually listen in, and all of my our fans. Okay, take it away, FX.
All right. Well, that makes it my job easier. So I'll go right into it. So like you said, the first clip is definitely by our first black U.S. Secretary of State that died just last month at the age of 84 from COVID-19, Mr. Colin Powell. And the song that he loved so much, and it's definitely one of my favorites, and it's a great song to play at a wedding for all those DJs listening out there. By this Euro pop song, we have that Dancing Queen, so it's a Euro pop song by the Swedish group ABBA. All right, so that's what we're going to end on, ladies and gentlemen. So on that note, always remember that you are loved if nobody else says it. So tune back in for more shows, because, again, we got shows coming up for next month as well as in February. All right, so, again, love you all. Thank you all for tuning in, for your loyalty, as well as your faithfulness. So on that, we out, y'all. Peace.
In 1989, Parade magazine had published your 13 Rules of Leadership. Mm-hmm. For CUNY students and alumni, what guidelines would you give them today?
Well, they're still pretty good. I mean, mm-hmm. we have been sending them out to people for the last 24 years now. And there's nothing magic about them. They're pretty commonsensical. And the reporter who wrote that article asked me to look at some little sayings I had under my desk glass that he heard about, and just read off some of them. I read off the first 13 that were publishable, were not rude, mm-hmm. And those are the ones he printed. And people have asked, well, which of these 13 rules are the most important? I said, the first and the last, number one and number 13. Number one says, you know, it isn't as bad as you think. It'll be better in the morning. It may not be better in the morning. It's not a prediction. It's an attitude to go to bed with that says, no matter what happened today, we're going to be better tomorrow. We're going to fix it tomorrow. And the 13th rule is a derivative from a military saying, and that is that force multipliers are things you do to make your force more effective and to make yourself more effective and to make your organization more effective. Perpetual optimism. Always think things are going to get better, no matter how bad things may seem at the moment. And I think that's an attitude for young people. A lot of young students that I meet or I talk to, they face difficulties in school, they face other difficulties in life, and it starts to get them down. And so, no, man, never be down, always be up. In the Army, they teach you, you know, no matter how cold everybody may be, you're the leader, you're never cold. Troops may be hungry, you're never hungry, you're the leader. They may be tired, you're never tired. And
you're that
so,
even
oh, healed. You've got to be optimistic that mm-hmm. things will get better. And I think youngsters don't get enough of that. Yeah.
Okay.